Hey, I am in the Kofi Wildlife Bureau of Land Management Recreation Area, or something to that effect. We just call it Kofi, and it's fantastic. A great view, panoramic view of mountains and desert. We're about 60 miles north of Yuma, Arizona, and about 30, something like that, 20 maybe, from Quartzsite, Arizona. And I am reminded as I sit out here, I'm the only vehicle in this massive area. I mean, it's Slab City was 630 acres, this is several times the size of that area, and there is nothing, just nothing, and it's amazing. I mean, there's a lot going on. I'm going to talk about it in this podcast, but this has caused me to think about the value of staying in one area long enough to get a deeper experience. And that's what I end up taking with me on the road. We're going to talk about it in Kofi Kush Love, because it's cushy here. Podcast 1050, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Lately, I've started out every podcast thanking people who have made contributions, because it is making such a huge difference. It also lets me know that people like the content, and that's really good. Really appreciate that. And I will endeavor to continue to try to keep the vibe, travel and the nomad experience. So appreciate that. If you don't send a contribution, that's great. If you send a small contribution, that's great. You can go to the page at thebobdavispodcast.com, little yellow oval that says donate, and you can put yourself, if you want to, on a pay plan where it's $1 a month or $5 a month or whatever you want to do. You know the drill. You hear all this all over the place. Everybody's YouTube channel and audio, there are all these options for, you know, giving people contributions. I'm going to thank some folks, and that's what I do. But also, if you subscribe to the Bob Davis Podcast on iTunes, it really helps, and it helps the feeds. You can find it on the Amazon platform, Alexa and whatever that Audible book thing is. I can never remember the name of it. And again, it's got, it's like the senior, it's like the oldest thing that there's, Audible or whatever it's called. I don't know. Also, Google Podcasts, that I mentioned that, and Spotify are great platforms. And also, right off the page, at thebobdavispodcast.com, streaming. And of course, you can play any single podcast you want right off the page. So I do have some people to thank. Let me grab my phone and we'll do that. Jeffrey Dunn, $25. Jeffrey apparently is on the, this looks like it's a monthly deal. Maybe it isn't, but Jeffrey, don't freak out. But if it is a monthly deal, I really, really appreciate that. Another contribution from Mindy Collins, Mike Seitz, and many, many others. And thank you very much from thebobdavispodcast.com. Some people think the desert is desolate, but it is teeming with life, especially in the spring. I noticed as I drove through areas that I was somewhat familiar with, I'd go, oh, that cactus didn't look like it was there before, but it was. It's just that it was essentially camouflaged, and now it's green. People have said to me, oh, the desert is dead. There's nothing in the desert. It's not alive. I'm looking at a lot of green, and what you'll notice in the spring is that there's a fair amount of green. So there's vegetation, and then otherwise it's teeming with life. You've got, all sorts of little creatures out here, jackrabbits and coyote and desert rats, one of my favorite, snakes, insects, flies, scorpions, tarantulas, although I haven't seen any of those. Apparently, I'm told, I'm not an expert, but I've been told that stuff kind of emerges with the heavy heat. So it's, in the high 80s, low 50s at night, mid 50s at night. That's the difference in temperature between the day and the night, and we are heading towards the 90s in the next few days, which I love. So this is not a desolate place. It's a different place if you're used to life in the, southeast or in the Midwest, where there's trees and grass and birds and things like that. You don't hear a lot. It's very quiet, and I see it as clean, dry, hot, and it's breathtaking in almost any place that you end up, especially out here. So you have the flat looking out toward the mountains, which change colors all day. And then there's sort of a hill leading up to the mountains. I don't know what they call that. So it's a great, great thing. If you barrel through these places or any place that you like as you travel, whether it's someplace up north or, you know, southeast Florida, whatever, if you barrel through, as I have many, many times, you don't see it. So this is one of those things where you have to get out and kind of sit. And I've learned a lot just being around here this winter. It started up as kind of a couple month respite from the road because prices of fuel were going up. And it ended up being a community. It ended up being an experience that I now have and a story that I now have to tell. And that's extremely valuable if you have the time to travel that way. So one of the things I've learned is this desert is also very old, right? You get the feeling a lot of it was underwater. And I have since learned that actually a lot of it was underwater, I don't know, millions of years ago. And these mountains were a lot higher as well, millions of years ago. Some of this I was able to glean from discussions with prospectors. One of the prospectors I met told me that, you know, I said, weren't there a lot of mines and stuff like that going on out here in the 1920s and 30s? And he said, oh, you know, this goes back to the Indians long before any white men came here from, you know, any Europeans, but also the conquistadores, basically the explorers, ancestors of the current Mexican government, as well as the Spanish hunting for gold throughout this whole area, whether it's Kofi or Dome Rock or any of these areas around Quartzsite. So this whole part of Arizona is just, as well, I think personally, the whole state is just enchanting. But the whole Southwest is this way too, because the climate changes, the elevations change, the colors change, the deserts change. Then you go over to Eastern California and its dunes, and you know it's an amazing landscape that I, now that I've gotten a chance to spend a lot more time here, it's just fantastic. And also, there has been some discussion of the ancient people who were here before what we regard in this country as Native Americans or Indians. So there were ancient people here long before there were Indians, according to some. And that's kind of interesting, too. When a person is out alone, when I am out here alone, especially late at night, in the moonlight, and especially when there's no moon, but in the moonlight, it's even more romantic. It is alluring and also a little scary. Now, I've said that there's nobody here. I mean, when I say there's nobody here, there is one guy about a quarter of a mile away that I have to use the binoculars to see, right? And I'm glad you can sort of hear it, you know, when the wind is right. You hear the wind a little bit in the microphone. You can sort of hear it. The highway is about, I'd say it's about half a mile maybe from here. So that's Arizona 95. That's a pretty heavily trafficked route with semis going from the 10 all the way down to the 8, which they pick up in Yuma. So you got a lot of traffic up and down this two-lane highway. And I'm kind of glad that it's there, because if it wasn't, and I'm going to go here in a few days and get some more wood, and then I'm going to come back and go deeper, because there's a place called Palm Canyon, which is down the road about 5 miles, looks like, 4 miles. And this is a place where there are naturally occurring palms, so I'm going to go down there. But I'm still pretty close to the road and glad for it, because while it is really relatively silent, it's also kind of reassuring. For me, there's a lesson about life here in this slow motion travel. This is something new for me, the slow motion travel. No more barnstorming. No commitments to fulfill somewhere half a country away, you know, some other state 800 miles from here at a certain time. And, you know, I've sort of done away with all that, whether it's visiting people that say, come see us, or some sort of client commitment, I'm just not going to do it anymore, because it turns something really interesting into, to a certain degree, a pain in the ass at the least, and at the most, a nightmare. And we'll talk about that in the second half of this podcast. You know, you hear a lot about businesses being in business for 5 or 10 years. How about 70 years? That's Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul on University Avenue. And I believe they've been at that location this whole time. Ryan Plumbing in St. Paul, you call 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. 7 years of experience. There's not much they haven't seen. Let me put it to you that way. When you have plumbing or heating problems or air conditioning problems in the summer, especially those of you who want to get your air conditioning checked, and especially those of you who have issues at businesses where you got, you know, bathrooms with lots of toilets and things of that nature, call Ryan, because you'd be surprised how much they can save you on water bills. Sometimes it's just a matter of changing out the toilets. Residential and business, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Reliable service. Click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com or check them out at ryanplumbing.com. But basically, when you need them, call them. They've been there for 70 years. Shout out to BU Enterprises. Yeah, I've talked about doing yoga out here in the sun, which I do every day. It's warm enough because I do the hot series, and it's warm enough now that I can do it in the sunshine. Last winter, I did a session with Juliet at BU Enterprises, and she showed me some stuff I could do in the truck, because exercise outside was just impossible unless you wanted to just go for a hike, just because it was just too cold, even out here in the desert, for me to do hot yoga. So if you're desk bound, if you're Zoom bound, if you can't get out of the house, if you're doing 14 hours a day of taking care of the kids and trying to get some work done, as many are right now, and I'm talking that about that a little bit in this podcast, give them a look. BU Enterprises at buenterprises.com, or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. They got lots of packages to help you be in your body, to help you be calm, to help you be fit, and help you manage your exercise. And you don't have to be Mr. and Mrs. Fitness. It's all about just stretches and great things like that. And breathing. Breathing is so important, especially for keeping your immune system up and running. BU Enterprises, they got packages. You can get a discount if you want to enter just B-O-B for the Bob Davis podcast. Win coming up here a little bit. BU Enterprises at buenterprises.com, or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Back in the world, I used to run from one thing to the next. And this is what you do when you are living in the world. And we like to call it the world, or the land of the bricks and sticks. Sometimes nomads will use that as a derisive term. I don't necessarily think it's derisive so much as that's what you do when you are engaged in a project on a day-to-day basis, a job, a business, whatever it is. We hear about all these admonitions on social media, or, you know, wherever you see them, to, quote, slow down and be, quote, unquote, mindful. I never understood what that meant, to be quite honest with you. And I really don't believe that the people that preach that catechism even fully understand either. In addition, some of us may have been forced one way or another to learn the dictum one day at a time. But that is not what's on my mind. I'm playing with the idea of staying in one place, doing nothing, basically, until something comes up from the deep. So that means sitting and thinking or meditating. I'm not big on meditating. I do yoga to meditate. I don't really meditate, so to speak. But still, it's sitting quietly in one place long enough for something to come up from the deep. And there's a lot in the way of the real good stuff that's down deep. And I had the feeling that in normal everyday life, we never get down to that level. It's like a battery that you put on the charger after only using a quarter of it, and you keep doing that, and eventually you're only going to have a battery that's, you got to run it all the way down. That's how I feel, that in normal life today, I mean, to me, nomad life is normal life, but in the, you know, I'm talking about life in cities and life when you have a job and life where you got someplace you got to go or things you have to do and you're not really in charge. You think you're in charge, but what's in charge is the schedule. Let's just put it that way without getting into a long and involved explanation and an editorial judgment, which is unnecessary. Things that are really down there, we don't get a chance to think about, to enjoy, or to, for lack of a better term, ruminate on. So when you stay longer, you start to pay attention to what's really important, at least in the nomad and environment, the nomad environment. And you really don't always know until you just sit out here for a while. And a desert is a wonderful place to do that because there's just nothing happening. You know, you sit here and you look out at these mountains, they don't change. The light changes, the winds change. You don't really see anything running around. I mean, you might see a jackrabbit occasionally, but basically there's nothing going on. You know that this is a place that is teeming with life, but it's very quiet. You know, you actually can hear the Schumann resonance if you listen for it very quietly. It's way down low, but it's there. You don't, you just don't know until you sit out here for a while what's really going on in your head, because most of the time we're shoving too much stuff down into that battery and using it down only a quarter, and there's so much down there. I hope that's clear, the value of just sitting and doing nothing and thinking about just what runs through your head. In our society, that's not okay. People think you're weird if you do that, but we're really not living in the 2014s anymore. Things have happened. Continuing shocks reverberate. The water is choppy, and it's getting choppier, maybe, and surely, you know, depending on where you are in the spectrum of what's going on in the world. And I think people have discovered something in all of this, or rediscovered something, and they're asking for the first time in a long time, and not in a rhetorical way, but in a real deep way, because they're reflecting on their own mortality more and more these days, because it's everywhere. Death is everywhere, to be quite honest. Is this worth it? For some, the hustle is always worth it, you know, because you get money or you get fame or you get whatever you get, and that's what you want. And I get it. I've had ambitions and goals, and I haven't lost ambition or goals. But I am learning, and this is something new for me, hard to believe, the value of sitting and waiting. That sitting and waiting, and I don't even know if it's waiting, it's just sitting in one place long enough to experience that place, is actually doing something. And it in fact can be a plan. People say, and I say, I ask myself, let me just put it that way. What are you doing? What are you doing out here? And I don't have an answer. And I don't feel like I need an answer to say, well, this is what I'm doing. I'm enjoying myself immensely. Even with I think if you listen to the last podcast, you understand that we all are dealing with various restrictions of some kind or another. So I feel it, no question about it. But I do not feel, personally, that we are done with the upheaval, insecurity, fear, and even death. And I would ask everybody else the same question. I hope we are, but I wouldn't say unequivocally that we are done with all that and it's time to move on. It just seems to be getting more and more and more bizarre every day. This is why so many people are looking for an out. And it's also why, to a certain degree, why so few take it. I don't need to get into the details, and I don't want to make judgments about why some take the out and some people don't take the out. What do you mean by saying take the out? I guess I mean when your gut tells you, go. you suppress it and you don't listen to it and you don't think about why it's saying that, and you don't go and you don't throw caution to the wind. Not everyone can do that. And again, I don't want to get into a long speech about this is what you need to do, because I don't know if you need to do that. You know, I'm just saying, I think a lot of people, and a lot of people I've met in the nomad world, and a lot of people in general, have just about had it. And I don't think there's anything a company can do. I don't think there's anything an industry can do. I just think people have said, you know, this is a good friend of mine, and I won't say, just wrote a book talking about the traumatization that people have experienced in the last, and I'm going to actually put a month, I'm going to put a month period on it, 24 months, 18 months, and how it continues with everything else that's going on. And all of the things that are piled on to everything, the mortgages, the car payments, the things that you have to do with the kids, the job pressures, all those things, that some, if they can figure out a way, if they could figure out a way, would they? And I think the answer is, yeah, hell yeah, I would jump, because I'd rather be sitting in the desert than going through this. That's what I'm trying to say, that I think that there's a fair number of people that have that in their heads. And as far as what we think we need, these are just some observations from just sitting here today and drinking coffee. I actually don't need much out here. You know, I have some firewood. Don't really need the firewood, right? But I always get some because I love it. So I have firewood. I have some food in the cooler. Got to have coffee. That's one of the necessities. I did buy some pretzels because there's nothing like a pretzel when the sun is going down and you're drinking some water or coffee. Again, got some peanut butter cookies, which I probably shouldn't have, but couldn't help myself. Got my solar power hooked up, got enough fuel if I need to go somewhere, and a sundries, sleeping bag, yoga mat, you know. And that's it. I'm not out here with, granite countertops and marble floors and 24-inch televisions. Actually, that's a small TV. 54-inch televisions inside and out, and a smorgasbord of fabulous vegan food in the million-dollar kitchen or anything else. Don't have any of that stuff. I just have an old truck, and which is an ambulance, and the stuff I've talked about. And it has made me realize that I really don't need much to drink this in, because it's the vibration of all this. And I'm doing this podcast because it's rediscovering the euphoria of the initial driving. You know, I like to drive, so it's taken me a while to kind of realize that staying in one place is as good as driving sometimes. And just, even if there's nobody around, there's nobody around. I don't have anybody I'm traveling with. I am completely by myself, nothing for miles. And it's just really great. So you don't need much to drink in the Kofi Kush love, for sure. And from here, I don't know where I'm going to go. That's the other thing. I don't know what I'm going to do 5 days from now. Does it matter? And the answer is actually no, it does not. And I'm lucky because what I do is podcasting and make observations, and I'm thinking and I'm talking about authentically what is going on in my head. These aren't value judgments about what people are doing. I look at what people are doing and I'm like, whoa, you know, I don't think I could do that anymore. This is something I've completely adjusted to, and it's an amazing thing to do. It's just weird. It's different because, I mean, if I was at home, I'd be doing this at home. I'd be sitting on my deck. I'd be thinking about what the podcast should be. I'd be making a couple of calls, whatever. I'm doing exactly the same thing, but it's a whole different feeling doing it in an environment like this and realizing I can stay here. So my front yard is this beautiful mountain range. My backyard is another beautiful mountain range with a tiny highway with tiny semis on it over half a mile away. And My stove is an open fire. I've got my jet boil for coffee and stuff like that. I'm occupied with charging my batteries during the day and things like that, and or doing a podcast. And then, you know, at about 4, I'll have to turn the music on and start doing my yoga class, which is a one-person class, which I teach myself. So that's what I do out here. And I couldn't be happier. Well, let's talk community focus. Let's talk about community a little bit when we talk about 36th and Lynn, the independently owned and operated community-focused refueling station at 36th Street South and Lyndale Avenue South in South Minneapolis in the Lynn Lake neighborhood. They've been there for a long time, and the store is what it's all about because they've got great locally sourced products. They're very conscientious about that. I've told you about some of the really good stuff they have, but they also do great community events, and this is a very focused, you know, community-focused business. So check them out, 36 Lynn, because it's an independent station. They get a good deal on fuel, and they can pass it on to you. As expensive as it is, maybe you can save some bucks. And check out the 36 Lynn website for more info on some great community events and really fun stuff. 36 Lynn, 36lynn.com, or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Yeah, part of the reason I did this podcast is it's a great contrast to the last podcast that kind of got... And I felt like I had to do it, you know, got kind of specific with some economic stuff and things that we're dealing with here, you know, out because our issue is fuel, obviously, and food, just like everybody else. But the payoff is just this unbelievable place. And I think the thing that's really cool about the desert is the breeze. You just get this breeze, and maybe there's an occasional fly. But it's so quiet, and it's spring. You know, I know back in the Midwest, springtime is just a cacophony of people on motorcycles and birds and, you know, planes flying over and all this other stuff. It is utterly silent. So thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast. Podcast 1050-1050, Covey, Kush, love, and greetings from the Arizona desert. Bye-bye.
Most people live on a lonely island, lost in the middle of a foggy sea. Most people long for another island, one where they know they would like to be. Bali High may call you any night, any day. Your heart, you hear it call you, come away, come away. Bali High will whisper on the wind of the sea. Here am I, your special island, come to me.